Okay, just before we start, one ha'ara, general ha'ara, on that I thank Aaron for pointing out these makaras to me. But and it was the Yavshar Shlomo somewhere. I just didn't know where it was. The Yavshar Shlomo in Baba Kama, in Chelak Perak Dalet Siman Yud Aleph. That's the source for suggesting that maybe we should call this Masechta Beya and not Beitza. Klal Gadol Hu Bazesh Yizar Adam B'Diburo Kavu B'Maisa V'Od Yoser. Says the Marshal, you have to be very careful in your words. Shafilu ala mutter lomar, medaktik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'mishe in emoti b'lashin yafim, menufe kafsolas nekiya. At the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, where it talks about how in the last week's Parsha, it says the behemoths that are einana tahora, instead of saying tameya. It says einana tahora, an extra word, in order to speak b'lashin nekiya. And even though it says many times the word tamei in the Torah, this is really the first time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking, he says einana tahora instead of tameya. V'kamapam, and then he continues, Mishum Hachi Kibalti Min Harishonim, says the Yavshar Shlomo, Shehayu Nisarim Shelolo Mar Betalmud Beitzim Ela Beyim V'chein Kol Ki Agavna. Then he quotes a Zohar that Lavo. Every time we say a word, every time a word comes out of our mouth, it creates something in Shemayim and it waits for us. Achar Meiv Esrim, and after Meiv Esrim, all of our words are going to stand next to us on the Yom Hadin as we're being judged. So that's what he quotes the Zohar at the end of it. He says V'dai Bahar Zosel Mavinim. So this is enough to wake you up. This is the Marshal. But it seems that Ruba of the Achronim seem to say that maybe one, if one wants to be medaktik, wonderful, but one does not need to. And this is quoted in the Likutim on the side of the Yachnu Boaz. The Likutim quotes Achronim that they quote this Marshal, which is quoted, which is made famous by the Magen Avram. At the end of Siman Kufnun and Vav, the Magen Avram has these two huge columns in Hilchas Masa Umatan. Just quotes daily items that we should take through our life. So he quotes this line from the Marshal. So in the Likutim, he quotes this, "Vitamana alatzmi." First of all, why Beitzim? Because Beitzim is part of the male anatomy, and that's why it's better to say Beim and not Beitzim. But first of all, Beim is a synonym. It's just Aramaic and not Hebrew. So what's the difference between Beim and Beitzim? Beim is the Aramaic way of saying the same word. So how does that help, that it's in Aramaic and not in Lashon HaKodesh? And then he goes through how in Lashon HaKodesh, many of the Mefarshim, we discussed this in the past, there's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. Why is Lashon HaKodesh called Lashon HaKodesh? And the Ramban says, because there's no, that every word in Lashon HaKodesh is pure and tahor. Every word. How can you say there's a word? So Lashon HaKodesh, dafka Lashon HaKodesh you should use. That's greater. And then he says, V'lo matzanu sheyishu l'bali ha-mishnah Lashon Beyim al-tmuna niskar. You never find anywhere in Shas that alludes to this. The Mishnah is the Gemara. They should allude to us. They should tell us something about this idea if it was true. And then he quotes Raya She'ein Olav Shuva. There's a Raya, a foolproof Raya that the Tanaim and the Amoraim said Beitzim and they didn't say Beyim. What is that? Because of a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Hei. We did this a couple of years ago, where there was a certain rabbi that said something, and people thought he said one thing, and then he said they took him to mean something else, and therefore they acted based on what he said, and you know, because he didn't speak clearly enough, so that is why he was held accountable in the Gemara. What did he say? What did they think he said? The word he said was mei beitzim instead of mei bitsaim. There's a difference between a type of liquid that's machshel kabel tuma. And we know there are seven types of liquids in a makabal tuma, yad shach adam, that mnemonic. So there's a certain type of liquid that was, and he said it wasn't, but those are the two words that got mixed up. May beisim and may bitsoim. Says the Gemara, if he pronounced it beim, there wouldn't be any question. Beim and there wouldn't be any shiloh, so haraya that it was beitzim, because bitsoim was the other one. So he goes, v'ilohaya hadrosh over blush and nekia, may beim in machshirin, it wouldn't have been any question. So that's why he thinks that there's no problem with what the minhag olam is generally to say mesechus beitza, because everything is dvarim shebekdusha. And then at the end he quotes, shuv sha'alti v'darashti, mahidas agon achasin mivilna. I asked around, what did the Gra do? What did the Gra say? It's always good to know what the Gra did. Asher yadiehu l'shomer hamilos. We know he guarded his words very carefully. V'dodati b'pibino shalamaran arav. I found that from the Gra's son. Ki lo kibel bazeh das agonim aniskar. He did not accept the Marshal. You know, the Gra said the Besachas Beitza, and that is generally what we will be saying as well as we go through. So that's the Marshal and the Likutim in the on the side of the Achanim box. Okay. So as we saw yesterday, Masechus Beitza is chock full every amud and every daf, and as we'll see today, Be'ez Hashem, it continues. Okay, we are second to last line on Beis Amud Beis. We've had two out of four. two out of four suggestions by the Gemara. What is the machlokes about between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And Beis Shammai says, if an egg is laid on Yontif, you're not allowed to. Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to take part in it, right? You're not allowed to eat it. Well, Beis Shammai says you're allowed to. So we have two suggestions so far. What is that machlokes about? Suggestion number one was that it was an issue of Muksa and Nolad. Beis Shammai does not hold the Muksa and Nolad, and Beis Hillel holds the Muksa and Nolad. That was suggestion number one. The Gemara rejected that based on a textual problem. The Mishnah could have just said he Ubeis Asa, could have said both. So the Gemara had a suggestion number two. It's an issue of Achana Darabah. Not Muksa, Achana Darabah. It's a lack of proper Achana. Shabbos, not a lot of prayer for Yantif. So it's a case of Shabbos before Yantif, and even on a plain Yantif, where Gozer ought to a case of Shabbos before Yantif. Okay, so that was approach number two. Now we're up to number three and number four. Number three, second to last line. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Gezerah Mishum Peros Hanoshrin. Rabbi Yosef says, you know what? It is Dindrabanan, Isser Drabanan, but Mishum Peros Hanoshrin. We know if fruits fall down from a tree on Shabbos, I am not allowed to partake of that fruit. I'm not allowed to eat that fruit that fell down on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, at this point, the Gemara thinks the following svara, that we're going to aser an egg that comes out of the chicken on Yontif, because if you allow that, you might come to eat the fruit that fell down on Shabbos. That is what the Gemara thinks as of there. So ask the Abaya, then Amalei Abaya, if that's the reason that's what we're talking about, Amalei Abaya, Paris, I know, should time am I. 1 second. What's the whole reason you're not allowed to eat fruit on Shabbos or Yontif that fell off a tree? Xerish and Yalav Yitlosh. The only reason you're not allowed to eat fruit that fell off from a tree on Shabbos and Yontif is because if you allow you to eat fruit, you know what? You're going to realize, you know, oh, this is such tasty fruit. You're going to go up and pick some fruit from the tree. And that's a malacha d'oraisa of kosher. So the whole reason you're not allowed to eat fruit from a tree, eat fruit that fell off a tree, is because of a chashash kosher. So he goof agzera, v'anah nekav adik zagzera agzera. The principle that we alluded to in Rashi yesterday, and that is, the whole thing is agzera. The reason you're not allowed to eat fruit that fell off a tree. So how can you have, you got to ask for the beit sin because you might have to eat the fruit, but eating the fruit itself is agzera. So the Gemara said, no, we misunderstood what Rav Yosef meant. What Rav Yosef really meant was, kulachad agzerahi. It's not that if you eat the eggs, you might come to eat the fruit. But when Chazal asered, when Chazal made the gzera of Peres HaNoshrim, when the Chazal made the gzera that you're not allowed to eat fruit that fell off a tree, included in that gzera was eating eggs that were laid on Yontif and Shabbos. Because it's a similar kind of idea. Eggs coming out of the mother, fruit falling off a tree, it's something coming away from its source. So that was included in the Gzeira originally. That is approach number three. Let's continue for a minute. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, a fourth idea, the fourth and final idea. Yeah.
The reason for the Gzeira doesn't make any sense.
The reason for the Gzeira doesn't make any sense. Correct. Well, it doesn't make any sense. The reason doesn't appear to fit exactly the case.
Right.
It appears like, how could you compare a fruit where you're going to worry about going up to the tree and an egg? So we're going to have, I was going to wait till Daf Hey to do this, but we're going to have cases where there's a concept of a low plug by Yisuri Zerabanan. Even though it does, every case doesn't exactly fit, and the reasons might not fit, but once Chazal answers certain cases, there's a concept we find by some of the acronym of a low plug by Nisad Rabbanan, and this seems to be that kind of case. Once they answer the category, fundamentally it could be part of the category, even though the reason might not fit. So we'll get to that Beis Hashem in a couple of days. But that is approach number three. Final approach, approach number four, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Gzeira Mishin Mashkin Shezavu. Another Issur D'Rabbanan. We know there's Issur D'Rabbanan that if fruit juice oozes out of fruit on Shabbos, we discussed this a couple of years ago when we discussed squeezing fruit on Shabbos, even if you're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos, midaraisa. We know that. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan of Dush. This is the Issur D'Rabbanan of Dush, squeezing out fruit on Shabbos. By certain, it's Issur D'Rabbanan of D'Rabbanan. But let's assume it's the real, you know, Zeisim van oven. Squeezing out a grape, squeezing out olives on Shabbos is an Issur D'Rabbanan. We know that even juice that comes out of them, by itself, is also aser, midrabanan. That's called mashkin shezavu, liquid that oozed out of the fruit. So says Rav Yitzchak, you know why an egg is aser to partake in on Shabbos and Yontif, that it came out today? Because if you eat the egg, then you might come to eat drink juice that came out of the fruit. So again, the same exact shakal vataria. Amalei Abaye, 1 second. Mashkin shezavu time in my exerish em yisko. The whole reason you're not allowed to drink liquid that came out of fruit on Shabbos and Yontif is because if you do that, you might come to squeeze the fruit themselves. So you're going to ask for the egg because you might come to drink the liquid, but he goof of zera, but not nekav nekav zera l'zera. So how can you say the egg is asur mishum the juice? So again, the Gemara clarifies. Kulachad gzeirah. No, really, it means it's one gzeirah. When Chazal asurd means a rabbanon, drinking juice that came out of the fruit automatically by itself at Shabbos, they included in that iser based on Shalom Debiyantif. You're right, as Menachem just asked, it's not exactly the same, but when they asurd this category of items, they included that in the items. We have to spend time on this Tosfos, but first let's do few more lines. So now we have four different pshatim in the Gemara. What exactly is the case of the Mishnah? Yeah.
What exactly is the category? Things that are around. And
what exactly is the category? Let's go right now. The Gemara is going to allude to that. What is the category? So says the Gemara. Why did each of the opinions reject the other opinions? Right. We have four. So why did each reject the other? So Kuluk Rav Nachman Lo Amri. Number one, Rav Nachman, who said Muksen Dola. We know why he was rejected. Why? Kikushin. Because we ended up with a kasha on him. We ended up with, on Beis and Beis, we said, why didn't it say he Beis Asa? So, that's why it must be that the other three opinions rejected him. Karaba Nami Lo Amri. Why did they not hold up number two? Hachana de Rabba. That you're not allowed to have Yad to prepare for Shabbos, etc. Hachana Yaslu. They don't hold of that Drasha. They don't hold of Hachana de Rabba based on that Pasuk in Bishalach. So, that's why they rejected him. So, let's focus on the last two, though. Why does each one reject the other one? Ella, Rav Yosef, by time Alamar Rav Yisrael. Why did Rav Yosef, number three, reject Rav Yitzchak number four? Why is it better to say that it's included in the Paris Hanoshrim Zera more than the Mashkishes of Zera? So Amar Lacha, no, Beitza Uchla, Uperis Uchla, Lafuki Mashkin Delo Vlab Uchla. You could say it's included in Paris Hanoshrim because egg is a food, fruits are food, liquid is liquid. Liquid is different than food. Solids and liquids. In Halakha, there are differences between solids and liquids. Even squeezing out. We mentioned, let's say on Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze out a fruit. But let's say you squeeze out a fruit onto a solid. Let's say you squeeze a lemon onto a piece of fish. You know what? That's mutter, says the Gemara. Why is that mutter? Because it never gets the status of a mashke. It goes straight from a lemon. A lemon is a solid. You squeeze it onto fruits, or you squeeze it onto salad, it's also. Aye, but if you squeeze a lemon into tea, that's asr. That's asr. Why? It's a lemon. It's the rabbanon. Why? Because that's getting the status of a mashke. So says the Gemara, you can't compare mashke and ochlin. So that is why Rabbi Yitzchak was rejected by Rav Yosef. Because Rav Yosef said it's better to include it in the peros category than in the liquid category. And the opposite, for Rav Yitzchak by time alamak Rav Yosef, why did Rav Yitzchak reject Rav Yosef? Rav Yitzchak says number four, why is the liquid comparison better than the fruit comparison? So amalacha, beitza bilua umashkin biluin. Lafuki peros to miglu v'kaimu. No, it's better. Egg is more like the fruit juice. Why? Because the egg and the juice are both inside something else. They're both balua, they're swallowed up. The fruit juice is in the fruit, is inside the peel of the fruit, while the egg is inside the chicken. The fruit is outside, the fruit's hanging up on a tree. So that's why it's not similar to that category. Okay, so we figured out why each one doesn't hold up the other one, and now we have four interpretations. Okay, Tosfos. This Tosfos is one of the most important Tosfos in the first parak. It's to the end of Tosfos, the end of the big Tosfos. Tosfos asks Akasha. The middle of the medium lines says Ach Tema on the second word. It says Ach Tema. Tosfos says, what's the Gemara talking about? We're worried that you might come to, let's say number three, approach number three. You might come to go and climb a tree on Shabbos and pick the fruit. And that would be, and he says, alright, so you have to Asur Mishum that. But one second. We know there's a heter of Ochel Nefesh on Shabbos, on Yontif. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. You're allowed to cook on Yontif. Heter ochel nefesh. It says achashe ochel nefesh ulavadu yeselachem. So why isn't it mutter to climb a tree and pick a fruit on Shabbos? You're going to eat it. Heter ochel nefesh. Are there any boundaries? Are there any limitations? Why can't I go in a car and drive to a store and buy fruit on Yontif? Heter ochel nefesh. That's basically Tosfos's question. Are there any limits? Gzereshem yalav yitzlosh. What's the problem with yalav yitzlosh? What's the Gemara say? It's go gzera. Daraisa. There's no daraisas here. You're allowed to prepare food on Yontif. So what's the limits of preparing food on Yontif? That's Tosfos Kasha. Akteima, Maishem, Yalav, Yitlosh. Hafil, Lekatima, Mutter, Litlosh. Tohochel, Nefesh, Mutter. So what are the limits? So Tosfos comes up with the Yisod. Tosfos on the second wide line. Akein, Pirish, Rebbe, Nisanel, Michinon. To be Yerushalmi. Tosfos goes to Yerushalmi. Ach yesh ash Yerushalmi yesh achas sheyachol l'chol nefesh v'samach le'ushvatam asamatzas. There's a smichus, there's a juxtaposition in the Torah of the heter l'chol nefesh to the pasuk of ushvatam asamatzos. Ushvatam asamatzos osam melachos shemishimur ve'eloch hein mutaros. By putting ochal nefesh next to ushmartem es amatzos, the Yerushalmi has a drasha mishimur ve'eloch, where you guard the item and on and further in the process of sidur the pas and further in the baking process, that is what is mutter. In other words, milisha ve'eloch. That's the Yerushalmi from kneading and on. Avol shar melachos to be kodem lachein asurin. According to Tosfos, it sounds like an Isser d'Oraisa, and this is going to be a major machlokas Rishonim, and that is there are, when the Torah says you're allowed to prepare for Yantif, and you're allowed to cook on Yantif, that does not mean that everything's mutter d'Oraisa. There are only certain malachos that are mutter d'Oraisa, even within the principle of heter ochal nefesh. Heter ochal nefesh does not mean everything is mutter d'Oraisa. And this is Bishita of Tosfos. And what's the Yerushalmi? Lisha ve'elach. No svara given by Tosfos. From kneading on. We know there are 11 malachas, the first 11 malachas of Shabbos. So there's Charisha, Zariah, Kotzer, Dash. All of those malachos are Asur d'Oraisa on Yontif. Because that's not me Lisha ve'elach. Only later on, this is your Elisha. Then you have the end. You have Tochein. There are a few at the end. Afiyah, actual Bishol. You can't plow on Yontif. Let's say if you're at amazing farmer and you could plow and sow and cut and everything within 24 hours. Right? Amazing. So you can't do that on Yantif. Because Charisha, what about a Shechita? Shechita is not in the... So again, you have to have the parallel. Shechita is going to be Mutter. You have to parallel other Malachas related to this. If you can figure out a Svara. But this is the Shechita of Tosfos. Only Melisha Ve'elech is Mutter. Before that is Asur Mita Oraisa. Is there any Svara for this? So if you look at the Me'iri on Daf Chav Gimel, beginning of the third paragraph by Ein Sadin, where this also is discussed, the Me'iri says, you know what the Svara for the Yerushalmi is? Shehalisha b'chol masha achareha hu Malacha shebehechsher ochlin. Aval hakatsira v'hadisha v'ha'imur einon hekshar ochel v'harehem b'chlam maleches avoda. Is what you're doing called preparation of food, or is what you're doing called work in the fields? When you're plowing, you're not preparing food. You are working in the fields. When you are threshing, when you're doing dash, when you're going to go up and rip something off a tree, that is not called preparation of food. That's not called ochel nefesh. That is called work in the field. Eventually it'll get you to prepare the food. But says the Me'iri, that's the svara for the Yerushalmi. On a Daraisa level, is what you're doing called ochel nefesh or melechas avoda basade. That is the shita of Tosfos here. That's the shita of the Me'iri. That is also the shita of the Magen Mishnah. Look at the Magen Mishnah writes in Hilchas Yantif, in Aleph Hey, v'ani omer, shemelechas avoda kol okol ma shederecho eved la'asos la'adonav. If you look in the Torah, and this is Meduyak, we'll get to this in a few minutes, the Torah says on every other Yantif, on Shabbos, it says, Kol Malacha Lo Sasu, right? We know that's the Pasuk. By Yantif, what does it say? Kol Malachas Avoda Lo Sasu, a different term. It doesn't say Malachas Asar on Yantif, it says Malachas Avoda Asar on Yantif. So what does Malachas Avoda mean? It says the Magen Mishnah. Malachas Avoda includes anything that an Eved usually does for a master. Kol Malachas Avoda, any like hard work. Melechas avoda, that's what's usually done. Ve'ein rov b'nei adam osan asan la'atzman. What would you do? What would your servant do? Says the Magen Mishnah. You're going to go out and plow if you had servants. Right? You're going to go out and plow. You're going to go out and cut and thresh in the field. Your servant's going to do that. That's what's asur on Yantif. That's what the Torah means. Melechas avoda lo sasu. You're going to, no matter how many servants you are, you know, many people like to cook. Right? The chef, like, it doesn't matter how many servants. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the kneading. I'm going to do the grinding. So it says the Magen Mishnah, again on the Daraisa level, only later Malachas, because that's what is Malachas, not Malachas Avoda. That is Malacha that I would do. Only Malachas Avoda is Aser. This is one whole group of Rishonim, that the Hedra B'Ochel Nefesh has Chilukim on a Daraisa level. But not everybody agrees to this. If you look in the Rambam and his Kfutzah, the Rambam holds, you know what Hedra B'Ochel Nefesh means? Everything is Mutter Daraisa. Every malacha, you know what climbing a tree? It's mutter to do that midaraisa on Shabbos. You know what? Cutting and threshing, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Yantif. Everything is mutter daraisa. The Rambam holds this way, and others hold this way. The Rush holds this way. Midarabanan, Yerushalmi's an asmachta. Midarabanan, certain malachas are usher. Why? The Rambam's lashon is, because if you allow everybody to do all malachas on Yantif, they're just going to be preparing food on Yantif. There's going to be a minias simchas Yantif. They're not going to have a good time. They're not going to be happy on Yantif. They're going to be busy preparing their food. If you force them to do it before Yantif, then they're going to have time to enjoy Yantif. There's going to be a minyan simchas yad, but means rabbanon. The rabban, the Rambam says, they answer certain malachas, or the Rosh says it's uvdin dechol. They answer certain malachas because of uvdin dechol. But fundamentally, those Rishonim say that midza oraisa, all malachas are mutter anyantif l'tzorach al chanefesh. That is a major machlokas between Tosfos and the Meiri and others versus the Rambam and the Rosh. Yeah.
How does the Rambam read this Gemara?
How does the Rambam read the Gemara? The Rambam would say, you know, it's better not to meet the what? Because it's gzera l'gzera.
Yeah.
Would it be a gzera l'gzera? So he has to work out exactly how he reads the Gemara. To figure it out, how he reads the Gemara. But either way, sometimes you kulachad gzera, but you might say it's included in that. That's exactly the Gemara's answer, maybe. But, okay. That is one other shita, and then we'll move on. One other shita, and that is the shita of the Rashba. The Rashba has more of a middle approach. The Rashba and Avodas HaKodesh. The Rashba has a little sefer that's used on the Zechus based on Avodas HaKodesh, which is about Hilchas Muksa and Hilchas Hotzah. That's basically an Ochel Nefesh. So it's a basic inyanim. So he writes there, again, we've had two shitas so far. We've had Daraisa, also be Darabana for certain reasons. We have now only Mutter on a Daraisa level. The Rashba holds like the Tosfos in that the Oraisa is the chilek. Even me Daraisa, there are certain malachos that are asuros, but he uses the term Masra HaKasav L'Chachamim, which means the Torah says something as Asa Daraisa, but it leaves it up to the rabbis to determine what's going to be included in the Sisa Daraisa. That's a term used by Chol HaMoed. By Chol HaMoed, certainly shown him, say, Issa Malach and Chol HaMoed is Daraisa, and the rabbis can decide what's Daraisa. So the Rashba uses, he reads Lashon, he uses the Rambam's reasoning. There's going to be a Menias and Simchas Yantif, and, you know, Uvdin Dachol. But he says that's how the rabbis explain why certain malachas are also Daraisa. So he's more of a combination opinion, whether it is, again, like Tosfos, that certain malachas are also Daraisa, the Rambam, all malachas are Mutter Daraisa, but some are also Midrabanan, and the Rashba, which is a middle opinion, that it's they're also Daraisa, but only because the Rabbanan says so. Okay, let's continue. Again, there's more to say on Heter Ochel Nefesh. I really hope to get to it later today, but if not, we have other days to say it about related to the issue of Hutra and Dechuya by Malachas Ochel Nefesh. So remind me at the end, if I don't get to it, we'll say it then. Okay, let's continue though first. We're in the middle of the Amud. V'yaf Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar Gzeir V'shemashkish Shezavu. We just had four different opinions of the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to say, Rabbi Yochanan holds like opinion number four. From the following discussion, we're going to prove that Rabbi Yochanan holds like opinion number four, that the issue by Beis HaShenolda is that it's included in the Gzeira Drabanan of drinking liquid that came out by itself. How are we going to know it from Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan is going to ask a contradiction between two Mishnayos. And the only way it's going to be a contradiction is if he assumes that the reason is Mashkish HaZavu. So we're going to get to it. Now we're going to do a kasha of Rabbi Yochanan. And the assumption of that whole question, the only way that the two Mishnayos are going to be a contradiction, is if he assumes, like number four, Mashkish HaZavu. So let's see. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yochanan asked a stira, Rabbi Yehuda. Umishani. And he answered the stira. But what was the stira? It's not in the Mishnah, it says in Shabbos. Ain't sochan as the bears falsi ben mashkin. One is not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos in order to get the juice out. V'im yatsa me'asman asurin. And even if the juice goes out by itself, the juice oozes out by itself. It's usher. It's usher to drink that juice on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda though has a chilek. Im la'ochlin. If the fruit is, let's say you have a bowl of fruit on your table. Why did you gather that fruit? Did you gather that fruit to eat? That's la'ochlin. Yeah, you have apples. You didn't gather the apples to squeeze the apples. You have the apples to eat. So if juice oozes out of those apples on Shabbos, so then Hayosim and Mutter. Yehuda says you're allowed to drink that juice. Why? There's no chash that you get a cup to squeeze them because you gathered those fruits to eat. So you're allowed to drink the juice. And let me just add one point. And he doesn't even consider that liquid because it was gathered to be eaten. So anything that comes out of it also has the status of food, not liquid, and therefore it's Mutter, says Yehuda. If you gathered it to squeeze, let's say you have some oranges and you plan to squeeze those oranges, so then anything that comes out of it is going to be usher because we're worried that you're going to come to squeeze the oranges if we allow you to drink it. Alma, but what do you see from this first Mishnah, from the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, called Ochlin Rabbi Yehuda, Ochlin Ifrisu? Any food, Ochlin, if it would the fruit that were gathered to eat, liquid that comes out of it, is considered just separated food, Ochlin Ifris. No problem, it's not considered Mashkin. Viraminhu, and Rabbi Yochanan said, there's a stira from another Mishnah. So let's see, which Mishnah? Mishnah in Erevin. Bodam Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah there is talking about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, whether it is Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos. Whether the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah have one elongated Kedusha, something that's going to come up in depth on Daf Hey, we're going to get to that B'ezras Hashem in a couple of days. Whether Rosh Hashanah is one elongated Kedusha, two Kedushas. We talked about this a little bit on Yontif when we spoke about the second night, Shechianu. Why is there a minhag to have new fruit and new items on the second night of Rosh Hashanah? Because of the issue of the Shechianu. Maker it then we paskin Shtei Kedushas. So there's no problem with saying Shechianu on the second night. But if, had it been one Kedusha, then what do you say Shechianu the second night for? You said it the first night. It's 1 48-hour Yom Kadosh. So that's why we're makwir to Vichoshis for the other Shitos to have a new fruit on the second night. But that is the issue here. So, Odam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is dealing with the following case. It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. I have a basket of fruits. The problem is, I forgot to take off Chumas and Maisras from this fruit before Yantif. And I know there's an Isra Drabanan to take off Chumas and Maisras from fruit on Yantif. Because I'm fixing. I'm being misakin. So what do? It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. I want to eat. I want to eat it at some time on Yantif. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a plan. What's the plan? Masa Adam al Kalkala. Make a tznai. Make a condition on the basket. Shall pay risk beyond the rishon v'ochel b'sheni. You know what you do? It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Say, if today is really weekday and tomorrow is really Rosh Hashanah, then I'm machmir Shumas HaMaisos today, and what I say tomorrow is meaningless, and you don't do anything else. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, what do? You say, if yesterday, I'm sorry, let me just finish the tonight. And if today is really Rosh Hashanah and tomorrow is weekday, what I say today is meaningless. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you say the opposite. If today is weekday and yesterday was a Yom Kodesh, what I say today is meaningful, I'm Mafra Chumas HaMaisras. If yesterday was a weekday and today is really Rosh Hashanah, so what I said yesterday should have meaning. So either way, right now, I can eat the fruit on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Because either yesterday was a weekday and what I said yesterday was significant, or today is a weekday and what I said today is significant. So either way, that condition is going to allow you to eat the fruit at least on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Says the Mishnah, continuing, V'chein beis ha'shanol d'barisha d'och b'sheini. Rabbi Yehuda says you can do the same thing if an egg came out on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to eat it on the second day. Because mimad of shach, either the first day was a weekday or the second day was a weekday. So either way, it would be mutter. So says the Gemara, b'sheini and barisha lo. It's mashma that you can only eat the egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah and not the first day of Rosh Hashanah. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it would be usher, meaning like shitas beis hillel. So says Rabbi Yochanan, stira. What's a stira? What's a stira? So says the Gemara. What's the stira? If you say that Rabbi Yochanan, what's the first mission? The first mission is about squeezing fruits. The second mission is about eggs. What's the connection? It must be that Rabbi Yochanan understands the reason for the eggs is Mashkin Shazavu. That's the only way he can be able to ask the stira. Because look at the two Mishnayos. They're talking about two different things. The first mission is about juice squeezing out. The second mission is about Beis HaShanah LeBiyantif. Mahakesher, says the Gemara, it must be Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Isser of Beis HaShanah is like number 4 that we had, and that is Mashkin Shazavu. Fine. But then the Gemara, by the way, answers, how do you get out of this stira, assuming it is a stira? So the Gemara presents 3 answers. Umishani, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself answers, Mokhlev is a shita. Switch the opinions. Always an easy way out. The Amorama have the power to do this. Switch the opinions. In the Mishnah, in Masech HaShabbos, Rabbi Yehuda should be the first opinion, and the Rabbanah should be the second opinion. Gemara just finishes off, and the fact that he asked this as a stira, it must be that he holds this all one reason, the reason of Mashkin Shazavu. But the fact that the Gemara brought up the stira, the Gemara says, you know what, I'll give you 2 other answers, how to answer the stira between these 2 Rabbi Yehudas. Number 2, Rabbi says the Gemara, Ravina Amar on the top, Ravina Amar l'olam lo tefach, don't switch the shitas around. Rabbi Yehuda levrem de rabbana kamar lehu. Rabbi Yehuda really says it is not a problem. But in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, when he's talking to the Rabbanan, and he's saying you can make this condition by the peros and by the egg, he's saying, according to you at least, admit to me the following. In other words, this is the conversation. Lididi, Rabbi Yehuda says, according to me, afilu b'risha nami sharya, duch ladifrisu. According to me, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can even eat the egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Because I say that juice that comes out is not a problem. Meaning like I say in the Mishnah in Shabbos. According to me, it's really not a problem. Ela lididchu, but according to you, Rabbanan, odili miyaz de b'sheni sharya, at least admit to me that you can eat the egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Shtei Kedusha saying, because each day really is a separate Kedusha, and that's what the Rabbanan argue on. V'yamalei Rabbanan lo Kedusha achasi, really is one Kedusha, but really, Rabbi Yehuda does not have to be switched, he holds fundamentally, there is no problem of the egg or the liquid coming out of the fruit. That's another answer to answer the stira. And finally, just let's do the third answer. Rabina Breid Rav Ula Amar, Hacha, no, totally different. But Tarnagolas Omez Lagala Beitzim. Rabbi Yehuda, the time he did slay muksa. Don't ask me a stira. The reason for it, there's no steer, you know why? The first mission is about fruit, the second mission is about Beis HaShenolda, and he holds, like a different shot of Beis HaShenolda. He holds Beis HaShenolda is also because of Muksa. And this is Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we said yesterday, the two most famous Tanaim in Muksa, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, less Lahu Muksa, as we discussed yesterday what that means. Rabbi Yehuda is Lahu Muksa. So this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds a Muksa. So don't ask me steerers, it's two different halachas. Okay, so that is just how a 20-line parenthetical note, not parenthetical, but parenthetical note, Rabbi Yochanan must hold like number four because he asked this contradiction, and the Gemara brought in two other answers. How might this contradiction be answered? Period. Yeah.
So according to Ravina, Ravina also fundamentally agreed that Mashkim Shizavu is not a problem.
According to Ravina, in that first Mishnah? That's the whole argument in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Shabbos, they don't hold up the chiluk of Im Ochlin and Lamashkin. They might say even in La'ochlin would be Yasser. They might hold the Master Shizavu.
Wasn't Rabbi Yochanan after these four? So who cares what he holds?
So still even in Svara. In Svara, we're not asking a historical that he holds it like the earlier, but at least in Svara, he has the Stiras. He must hold a Svara. So which Svara? We're not talking about the personalities themselves. We're talking about the Svaras that they say.
Right, no. It's not
asking a Kasha. We didn't ask a Kasha. No. We ask a Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. We're asking, what does he hold? What does he hold? Trying to figure out what he holds. Okay, let's continue. Meisve, important item, it's coming up. Meisve, about the eighth line or so. We're going to ask Akasha, we're going to go back, remember the four opinions, because we're going to talk about those four opinions a little bit more. The following brisa. Echad beitza shenolda b'shabbos, the echad beitza shenolda b'yantiv, whether an egg came out on Shabbos or yantiv, ein metalta nosa, you're not allowed to move that egg. Lo lachasas b'asakli, you can't use it as a cork. Right, use your cork. You can never fit the cork back in. You want to put an egg on top, at least to keep the taste in. Can't you move it because it's muksa? Below lismok bakari amitan, you can't use it to support a bed. I guess if you're a certain type of physicist that knows how to put the egg under a weight, you know, without it breaking. So you can't do that either. You can't move it. It's muksa. The aval kofel as a kli bishvosh lo tishaver. What are you allowed to do? You're allowed to put a bowl over it to protect it, so that it does not break. We'll get back to each of these lines. Visveka asura, and besafik it is asura. What does besveka mean? So at this point, we think it means you're not sure. You see an egg, you're not sure if it came out before yantif or on yantif. Safek asura, you have to treat it as asur. V'imnis arba be'alef, and if it got mixed up, if this egg got mixed up in 1,000 eggs, kulan asuros, they're all asur. We're going to talk about that more tomorrow. That gets into the concept of sveka. We'll get that speed from tomorrow's discussion. But anyway, that's the end of the brisa. So the Gemara asks as follows. The Gemara is bothered by the two words sveka asura. Why would an egg that you're not sure if it came out today or yesterday, why would that be asur? Bishlamala rabba to amar mishum hachana. So answer number two, shot number two that we gave in the Mishnah of Rabba, Hachana de Rabba, that's a Daraisa discussion. So, Havisveka Daraisa, the Choseka Daraisa Lachumra. That's a Daraisa discussion, and we know that when you have a case of a Suffolk Daraisa, you have to go Lachumra. We mentioned in the past that in every halachic context, the Torah tells you what to do in a case of Suffolk. By Dini Mominis, what do you do? Hamotsu Mechaber Alav Araya. By Isra Veheter, what do you do? Suffolk Daraisa Lachumra, Suffolk Darabana Lakula. By Tum and Tara, what do you do? Suffolk Tumah Bereshus Hayachid Sveiko Tameh, Bereshus Harab and Sveiko Tahar. So in every halachic context, we're told what to do in a case of Suffolk. So here too, if it's a Suffolk Daraisa, so we understand why the Brisa says Sveika Asura. El Alur of Yosef Alur of Yisrael, but for the last two answers, the Amid Zvishum Gzeira, the last two answers were because of Gzeira the Rabbanan. Shema Yalav Yitzlosh, Paris Anoshrin, or Bashman Shazavu, but either way, it's the Rabbanan. What do you mean? If you have a something about a Rabbanan, say a Rabbanan, of course, say a Rabbanan Lakula. Something Rabbanan is Lakula. So if it's something Rabbanan Lakula, say we should be Mako. What do you mean, Sveika Asura? So Gemara answers, you're right. The word Sveika Asura has nothing to do with Beis HaShenolda. We're talking about forbidden eggs in the Braisa. So this is a different kind of forbidden egg. Seifa Asa'an L'Safek Treifa. Really, the Seifa is talking about a case where an egg came out on a weekday, on a Tuesday in the middle of Cheshvan, on a Monday in the middle of Cheshvan. Right? And you're not sure if this egg's mother, if the chicken was a treifa or not. We know the principle is, Hayotze Min HaTame Tame. If the mother is treif, so the egg is treif. So that's the suffix. You're not sure. It's a suffix daraisa. So suffix daraisa. So that is why he was going to be usher. Period. Let's stop here for a moment to talk about a few things, even though we're in the middle, but things to talk about. Number one. So, ein metaltzel in osa. Let's go line by line in the braisa. It says you're not allowed to move this egg. The Rama quotes in Hilchas Muksa, in Simin Shinchas, that the Isra Muksa is just to move. Like it says here, you're allowed to touch muksa. I'm allowed to go over to a, I mean, it's the best thing to do, but you're allowed to go over to a car and put your pinky on the car on Shabbos. That's not included. The issur d'rabbanan of muksa is moving muksa, tiltel muksa. If there's a chash that you might come to move muksa, then you shouldn't touch it, because, you know, you might come to move it. But there is no issur of touching muksa, there is only an issur of moving muksa. Related to this, though, is a important shuva of the Trumas Hadeshen. It's quoted in the Taz and in the Magen Avraham, Trumas Hadeshen and Simon Samach Zayin, where the Trumas Hadeshen talks about touching the menorah or the Aron Kodesh, you know, touching large items on Shabbos, and he quotes the Yerushalmi that quotes our Brisa. The Yerushalmi says, "Kofen alakli al beisus nolda biyantiv." You're allowed to put a bowl over the egg. You can't move the egg directly. You're allowed to put a bowl over the egg, as long as you're careful that the bowl doesn't touch the egg. That's what the Yerushalmi says. You have to be careful that the bowl doesn't touch the egg. And he asked the Trumas Hadeshen, what's the big deal? Touch the egg. What's the big deal about touching the egg? What, because you might move it? Says the Trumas Hadeshen, maybe it's because you might move it. Maybe because an egg is very, very wobbly, and you might move the egg. But then the Trumas Hadeshen says, maybe I think there's another chiddush here. Says the Trumas Hadeshen, when do we say that you're allowed to touch muksa? That's only derech agav. I mean, you're not doing something l'tzorich davar hamuksa. You're not moving something for the muksa. You touch the carbide, you have to lean on something, you have to tie your shoe. So you lean on muksa without touching it, without moving it. That would be mutter. But if you're touching the muksa for the muksa's sake, so that's asur also. That's also included in the muksa. What's our case? You're putting a bowl over the egg to protect the egg. That's l'tzorich davar hamuksa. That's what will be usher. That's the chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen. It's quoted in some of the notes of Kalim on Shulchan Aruch. And that is why here, you're not allowed to touch the egg with a bowl, maybe not only because you're worried about moving the egg, but because you don't, it's l'sorach davar hamuksa, so therefore you don't want to move it. Number one. Number two, it says here that you're allowed to put the bowl over the egg. What's the chiddush about putting the bowl over the egg? Let's say it's not touched. So Rashi quotes, la'afuke mid Rabbi Yitzchak. What's Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak, we had him in Masechah Shabbos. Rabbi Yitzchak holds, ein kli nital el l'sorach davar hanital. Which means, Rashi quotes it right here, Dibur Maschal Aval, Rabbi Yitzchak holds that you're not allowed to move anything on Shabbos for a davar hamuksa. Yerushalmi didn't go that far. The Trumas Hadeshen didn't go that far. But that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says. I can't pick up a cup, a bowl. The bowl I can't pick up to protect the egg. I'm not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to, not only not allowed to move muksa, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're not allowed to move something for the sake of muksa on Shabbos. That's the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Says Rashi, that's what our Brice is going against. Our Brice is going against Rabbi Yitzchak, because our Brice says you can pick up the bowl and put it over the egg. Fine. But then Rashi says, what does Rabbi Yitzchak do with this Brice? How does he read the Brice? How are you allowed to put the bowl over the egg, according to Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak said, you know what Rashi says? According to the Gemara there, Rabbi Yitzchak would say, it means you have the bowl in your hand for some other purpose. You were clearing the table after the meal, so you have the bowl in your hand. So you know what? Once it's in your hand already, you know, you picked it up because you needed it for some other reason. So you're allowed to put it over the egg. That's how the Gemara interprets Rabbi Yitzchak. We don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. But Tosfos says, this idea, top Tosfos here, this idea, how Rabbi Yitzchak learns our Braisa, is where we get our halacha lamaisa from. There's something called, as we mentioned yesterday, a klisha malachta la'isser. It's a type of muksa, or maybe not even a type of muksa, but it's kalim. Pens, staplers, scissors, anything that's generally used for an isser. The halacha is that those are allowed to be used with sarach gufo, with sarach makomo. If I need to use the scissors to cut my chicken, if I need to use a stapler for a paperweight, if I need to move the pen because I want the spot on my Shabbos table in order to put my plate down, I'm allowed to move it, l'tzorach gufo, to use it for a mutter purpose, or l'tzorach makomo, to I need the spot. That is the halacha by klishim lachto l'isser. You're allowed to move l'tzorach gufo makomo. Says Tosfos, you get it from Rabbi Yitzchak reads his brisa, even though we don't pass him like Rabbi Yitzchak. But then Tosfos adds another extension. Says Tosfos, v'im hischel, first skinny line, v'im hischel ataltalo, b'shvil shetzarach l'gufo l'makomo, mutter l'holicha afilo b'chadu amyirtze. Tosfos has a chiddush. If you pick up a pen from your table, because you forgot to take the pens off the table before Shabbos, so you have the pen in your hand. So what are you allowed to do with it now? Says Tosfos, you can put it wherever you want. You don't have to go to the first nearest spot. Says Tosfos, you have it in your hand, you go put it in the drawer where it's supposed to go. That's what Tosfos says. Once you are allowed to pick it up, so therefore you can go put it wherever you want. The Magen Avraham in Yoredeya, in Hilchas Mila, in Hilchas Shabbos, in Arachayim says, you know, I'm going to expand this Tosis. Says the Magen Avraham, even if you picked up Muksa Be'isser, let's say by mistake you picked something up that was Muksa. You forgot, you didn't realize. Says the Magen Avraham, once it's in your hands, do whatever you want with it. Why? Because, you know, just like Tosis says. That's the Magen Avraham. And if in Hilchas Mila, this comes up where? Right after the Moel does the Mila, he has the knife in his hand. The knife is a Muksa Machos Chesron Kis. It's a fancy knife. What does he do with the knife? He has to drop it? It's a big shayla by the Moelim. What do they do with the knife? You're allowed to put it back in their bag? That's where this is discussed, in Hilchas Mila. So the Magen Avraham there says, no problem. You're allowed to pick it up. You know, any Muksa, once it's in your hand, you're allowed to do whatever you want with it. That is the Magen Avraham Shita. The Gra, in both places, both in Yoredeya and in Arachayim, argues on the Gra. Argues the Magen Avraham. What are you talking about? What did Tosfos say? Tosfos is talking about a case only where you were allowed to pick it up in the first place. Right? You picked it up beheter. Once you picked it up beheter, you were allowed to pick up the pen because you need the Makomo. Once you picked it up beheter, then you could keep it in your hand and wherever you want, you could put it. But when you picked it up beisser, you picked up Muksa by accident, you have to drop it right where it is. You can't continue. You can't take it wherever you want to go. Says the Gemara, no way. And he quotes Rias to this. He quotes the Gemara in Brachas that Misha Achal Shum Berecha No Dev Yochal V'Yochal Yochal Shum. If someone, the Gemara asks, if you drank something and you forgot to make a bracha, what should you make a bracha now? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You finished drinking. You should do something else wrong. You drank without a bracha. You should make a bracha levatala. So the language there is that the mashal is if you ate garlic and your breath stinks, you should eat more garlic to make your breath stink more. That's the language of the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Aleph. So says the Gra, he uses that here to argue the Magen Avraham. You did one thing wrong. You picked up muksa. You weren't supposed to. Why? You keep muksa in your hand. You drop it. What are you talking about? How can you do that? So there's a major machlokas that post between the Magen Avraham and the Gra. How far do you take this top tosis over here? Do you say that any muksa in your hands, once it's in your hand, you'll have to do whatever you want? That muksa is only an isser of hagbah. But once it's in your hand, it's not a problem. Well, the Gra says no. It is still usher. That is an important discussion there. Yeah.
The Gra doesn't argue about the Milo.
The Gra doesn't argue about the Milo because Milo was his was beheta. You picked it up beheta. Correct.
But even if you want to expect Tosis is limited to only Klisha.
Oh, maybe also. That's what the Gra also said. That's another argument that the Gra didn't mention. Maybe it's limited to Klisha Malatul Isser because that's not really Muksa. That is a Xera of Tiltul Kalim, as Rav Shechler likes to call it. There's a Xera of Tiltul Kalim and there's an Isser of Muksa. Tiltul Kalim was a different time in history it was made. That's based on the Gemara in Shabbos. So maybe that's another argument that he has in the Magen Avraham. Maybe it's not by all Muksas. Maybe only if you picked it up the Heter and maybe only if maybe only by Klisha Malachta Lisser. Okay, let's... Right, the bowl that he knows it, but according to Rabbi Yitzchak, it's also Muksa. So the Yisod, how Rabbi Yitzchak explained the Braisa, is what we use to explain our Klisha Malachta Lisser. Okay, let's continue a little more. There's a lot more to say, but we got to move a little bit. Okay, a few more lines. Says the Gemara, so what did we just say? The line of Sveika Asura in the Braisa was difficult, because what do you mean Savik? Savik Daraisa L'chumra, Savik Daraisa L'chumra. So they say, Rabbanan, so you're right, they reread that line. That line is referring to a Suffolk Trefa. So, Ihachi, if it's a Suffolk Trefa, then I have another problem with the next line of the Braisa. Ema Seifa, what is the next line? It says, if it's a Suffolk, it's Asur, and if it got mixed into 1,000, Nisarba Be'elep, Kulan Asura. So if it got mixed into 1,000 other eggs, they're all Asur. So says the Gemara, E Amr Bishlama Suffolk Yantav Suffolk Cholhu, if you say, the Issa we're talking about is a Muksa issue, you're not sure, today, tomorrow, so then I understand why if this egg falls into 1,000 eggs, it's still usher. The concept of bittul, of nullification, doesn't kick in, even though it should kick in, because it's 1 in 1,000. I understand though why it doesn't kick in if we're talking about a yantif issue. Why? Havidavar sheishlo matirin. Because of sheishlo matirin, I feel a be'elaflo batil. There is a principle that if something is going to become mutter at a future date, davar sheishlo matirin, then it's not batil, even if it falls into 1,000. So if it's a yantif muksa issue, it's going to be mutter tomorrow. Anyway, it's going to be weekday. So it's not, so Rashi, we're going to get more to this tomorrow, enough time today, but Rashi svara for this, davar sheishlo matirin, come on time, because it's great lumdus, we're going to get to Rashi versus the other Rishonim. So according to Rashi, davar sheishlo matirin means you might as well wait. Why rely on bittul? You might as well wait. So whenever you have a davar sheishlo matirin, it's not batel. But the egg's going to be batel, wait till tomorrow, it will sure be mutter. So if we're talking about a yantif issue, so you understand why an egg that falls into 1,000, the next one of the Rashi is going to be usher. Ella Iamrit Safik Trefa, but if you interpret the line of Sveika Asura means we're talking about a Safik Trefa, so then it's a Davar She'ein L'Matirin. It's never going to be Mutter, so it's Yibata Baruba. So it should be Bata Barov. Yibata Barov. You know, why should it be Usher an egg and 1,000 eggs? It should be Bato. Rashi quotes, what's the Makar of Bata Barov? Achrei Rabim Lahatos. You follow the majority. Right? That's where Rashi says the mucker is for bitzel rove. So here too, if it's a suffix shreifa, so why isn't it bitzel? The Gemara continues. And maybe you want to tell me that maybe Beitza is significant. It's a davar chashuv, it is not batzel. We'll get more to this tomorrow, but in a little bit, there are certain items that are considered chashuv in halacha. And because they're considered chashuv, significant, they're not batzel. For example, birya, a whole item. You have a whole bug that falls into your stew. So even though the bug is tiny compared to everything else, it's not going to be batel. That's called a birya. A birya is chashuva ve'ena batela. Simon cook in your day. But here too, beitza, maybe an egg is chashuv. Maybe that's why. Even though it's talking about, it's not talking about davar shehi, it's talking about a suffix treifa, still it's going to be chashuv, it's not batel. So would that work? So Gemara says that would only work according to one opinion and not the other opinion. Ha nichal man da amar kol shadar kolimno sheninu. We're going to have in a Mishnah in a minute, which we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to have an admission in a minute. There's a machlokas. Let's say you have an item that you sell sometimes by the number. There's such special items, you don't sell them by a pound of flour. Every grain of flour is not significant. But eggs, a dozen and a half, you sell eggs by the number. So eggs is something significant. But there's a machlokas whether something is significant if it's always sold by the number or if it is sometimes sold by the number. If eggs, the Gemara assumes, is sometimes sold by the number. So says the Gemara, Hani Klamanda Amar Kol Shadar Kolimno Sheninu, this idea of an egg not being batel would work if you hold up the idea that if anything is sometimes sold by the number, it's not batel, so then that answer would work. Elamanda Amar Eshadar Kolimno Sheninu Maikil Meimar, but if you hold that it only something that is always sold by the number, that's what's not batel, so then you still have a kasha. Why isn't this egg batel? Because egg is not always sold by the number, so it should be batel if we're talking about a suffix treifa. Ditznan, as the Mishnah is about to explain, the next 12 lines down to the bottom of the Amid is just going to quote where this machlokas comes from. Of Kol Shadar Kolimnos is Eshadar Kolimnos, and that Hashem will start with tomorrow. But before even we start with that, tomorrow we're going to start with the machlokas in Rashi and the Ran about Davar Sheish Lamatirin. They're very important, and tomorrow will be a big discussion of Svek Sveka, which comes up in the Tosfos over here, and other items that come up. Tomorrow's Aim about Limits of Lechachila. Tomorrow is about Yantav Sheini, Benagav Sinav Yadenu. Every day there's a lot, I don't know what to say. But anyway, that is the that is what we say. This week's year is sponsored by the Keller family. Zelda Bas Aro. Zelda Bas Aro.